Shall we open our Bibles to Luke chapter 24, please? Luke chapter 24. While you're turning, those of you who would like to be on our Bible for Today news report mailing list, you may sign up and get a whole year with our compliments, or the Dean Burgon News on this side. You may get that also. Some of our materials, you'll be able to see what they are as far as new ones are concerned. But Luke 24, the angels visiting the tomb of the Lord Jesus, and He was not there. Notice in verse 6, "And as they were afraid," that is, these women who came, "and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them," that is, the angels said unto these women, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how He spake unto you when He was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again." And they remembered His words. This is Easter Sunday morning that we remember on a basis that the world sets up for us. For the believers in Jesus Christ who are saved and who are born again, every Lord's Day is a remembrance of Christ's resurrection, the first day of the week. But for those who are not Christ's, who are not His, who are not saved, many times they think of the resurrection of Christ only once a year. Now, our King James Bible has a lot to say about Easter and about crucifixion and about Calvary, the things and the events that surround the Easter season. But did you know there's a number of people and publishers and Christians and born-again people that are saved and fundamentalists even, that would like to do away with the King James Bible and replace it with some of these modern versions? We talked a little bit about some of the doctrines that are changed this morning in our Bible school. This morning I'd like to talk about Easter. If we had no King James Bible, if it were closed and sealed and taken away, what of these new versions? The New International Version, the New American Standard Version, the New King James Version in their footnotes. What have they done to Easter? What if there were no King James Bible to give us the truth, all the truth? I don't just mean part of the truth or 95% of the truth, but all of the truth about our Savior, crucified, buried, risen again, and coming. You know, there are two different Greek texts on which these Bibles are based. The King James Bible is based on the true Greek text. This blue volume here, we call it the received text, the traditional text, the Textus Receptus. But our Bible is based on what we believe to be the truth in the Greek language. These other Bibles, these other versions, I don't call them Bibles, are based upon another text called the 26th edition of Nestle-Aland, the Westcott and Hort type text. This text is different from this text in 5,000 to 6,000 places. 5,000 to 6,000 places. This text, this red text, has removed some 2,860 words from the Greek text, 2,860 words that this text contains, this text has removed. You know what that amounts to? That amounts to approximately the entire books of 1 Peter, all 5 chapters, the entire book of 2 Peter, 3 chapters, 8 full chapters. If we take it in the English words, these are Greek words that they've omitted, 2,860 words means wipe out 1 Peter from your Bible, wipe out 2 Peter in numbers of words that they remove. Now, they don't take a whole book out. They remove them here and there and yonder. So if you were to take and to print out in English the words of 1 and 2 Peter, it would take about 9 pages, 8.5 by 11 pages, that would be removed from your Bible. We have printed up these 1 and 2 Peter right here, and these are the 9 pages that you have removed by these new versions in the new Greek text, 2,860-some words from your Bible. Now, that's the entire picture. We're just going to look at Easter this morning. You are here, maybe visitors. I'm a visitor here, and I know you came to hear your pastor, probably, but the pastor has asked me to take his place this morning. But we're going to talk about Easter. We're going to talk about some 20 different verses of the Word of God that have been changed by the new versions. And I want you to look at it with me. We're going to start with Matthew, then Mark, and Luke, and John, because that's where Easter is made, isn't it? In those Gospels, that's where we talk about the resurrection of Christ. There are many other verses. But let's begin. The pastor said, how long are you going to preach this morning? I said, well, maybe 30 minutes, maybe 35, and so on and so forth. So we planned it. I said, when do you stop? And he said, usually 12 or maybe 10 after, with the invitation and all so on. So we'll go ahead and see if we can fit right in with that. But I'm going to preach on those verses and those sections that are missing from our King James Bible and missing from Easter, that these versions have messed up and have changed. I know there are many people that stand by these versions. They say the New International Version is it. We're going to stand by it no matter what. Some of the fundamentalists even, the separatist Baptist fundamentalists, have used this version throughout their entire church. Pastors preaching from it. Right over here in Muskegon, close by, we have a whole big church preaching only this version, New International Version. Others say, oh, I'm going to take the New American Standard Version. Others, the New King James Version. I'm going to take these versions, 20 verses, and I want to show you what's wrong with them as far as Easter is concerned. How they remove key sections, key verses, and key things in Easter. All right, let's begin first in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 24. The first thing I want to show is that Christ is not a sinless, spotless Lamb of God in these verses. Notice in Matthew 27:24, when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, and saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person, see ye to it. Now those words of this just person, this righteous person, this sinless person, are omitted by every one of these versions right here, all three of them. They just take it out. I'm innocent of the blood of this person. The NIV people do not believe the Lord Jesus Christ was deity, perfect, sinless, spotless, justice, just and righteous. And if he were not righteous, if he were not just, he could not be the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Nor could he be the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Could he? If he had a spot upon him. And yet those words, those precious words, found in our Bibles, found in our Greek Testaments that underlie the King James Bible, are removed. And so you have not a just person, but just a person is all you have. Three versions, take them out. Look at Matthew chapter 27, again in verse 34, where you say they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. When he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. Vinegar. At the crucifixion, at the Easter season, vinegar was given to him in fulfillment of Psalm 69 and verse 21, when they gave him vinegar. These three versions and perversions of the Word of God remove vinegar and for it place the word wine. So you have a contradiction between the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament says they're going to give him vinegar. New Testament, if you have the NIV, the New American Standard, New King James, in their footnotes, they changed it. They didn't give him vinegar. They gave him wine. Now, there's a difference between vinegar and wine. Greek words are different. Oxos is vinegar. Oinos is wine. Two different Greek words, entirely different. So you have in these versions that I call perversions of the Word of God a contradiction in Old Testament prophecy. In fact, a denial of Old Testament prophecy. That's the second verse. Let's take a look at a third verse. Look in Matthew 27, the same chapter, and look at verse 35. Verse 35. They crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of by the prophets. They parted my garments upon them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. That last part, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets, they parted my garments and among them, and upon my vesture they cast lots. You won't find. They're either removed or bracketed in these versions, these perversions of the Word of God, the New International Version, the New American Standard Version, New King James footnotes. They again deny the prophecy of the Old Testament, which speaks of the dividing of the garments, Psalm 22:18. So fulfilled prophecy of what took place before our Lord was crucified, what they did with his garments, is removed from these versions. Let's take a fourth verse. These two verses, these last verses, take away prophecy. Look at the fourth one. Turn to Matthew 28 and verse 6. 28 and verse 6. On the Lord's resurrection morn, when the women came to the tomb, in verse 6, the angel said, he is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. Now notice the word, the Lord lay. Two of these versions remove the Lord. The New International Version, the New American Standard Version simply say, look at the place where He lay. You don't know whether it's the Lord or whether it's some other body in these versions, do you? It's the Lord Jesus Christ that was lying there, and the body was not there. The Lord was not there, for He was risen. Let's take a look at a fifth verse. Notice in the Gospel of Mark, move now from Matthew over to the Gospel of Mark, talking about Easter, if we had no King James Bible, and they're ready to wipe it out. It's now the second leading Bible in terms of sales in our publishing houses today. New International Version has taken first place. King James is second. What if they're going to wipe it out completely? Notice in that entire verses 9 to 20, the last 12 verses of Mark, are bracketed or footnoted or wiped out or doubted in the New International Version, the New American Standard Version, New King James footnotes. Mark 16, verses 9 to 20. Notice all the resurrection things that are there that are doubted by these versions, perversions. Notice verse 9. Jesus was risen. Notice the first day of the week early. Notice the third thing. He appeared to first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom He cast seven devils. Notice in verse 10. She went out and told them. Notice in verse 11, the last part, they believed not. These are salient features of the resurrection story. And verse 12, after He appeared in another form unto two of them, as they went into the country. Notice in verse 13, they went and told it, these who saw the Lord Jesus. And they didn't believe, neither believed they them. Verse 14, He appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them because of their unbelief. These are resurrection stories and messages. Notice verse 15. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The Great Commission. Gone, doubted, questioned by these three versions and perversions. And he that believeth not shall be damned. Signs shall follow them, verse 17. The signs in the apostolic days, verse 19. Notice, He was received up into heaven after His resurrection. Bodily, the Lord Jesus was received into heaven. This is Easter story. This is Easter truth. And they have made it into a fable. And notice, He sat down at the right hand of God. The only gospel that mentions that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father's throne above. Other passages tell us about that in Hebrews and other places. The only gospel, and it's omitted and changed and doubted and questioned. And then they preached everywhere, as it says in verse 20. So the Gospel of Mark. Notice in the Gospel of Luke, let's move to the Gospel of Luke, the Easter story. What if we had no King James Bible? What if it was gone? What if all we had were these three versions or perversions of the words of God? Would the Easter story be any different? Yes, it would, my friend. Notice in the book of Luke, the sixth thing, an angel strengthening the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 43, and there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him, and being in agony. Verse 44, Luke 22:44, being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. In the Garden of Gethsemane, the angels of God, the angel was strengthening the Lord Jesus, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood. And the New International Version and the New American Standard Version, these two versions, take away those two verses or question it in some way. We don't have any angel strengthening our Savior in the Garden of Gethsemane prior to Calvary. We don't have any sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. The agony evidenced by our Savior's bodily testimony here, gone. Let's look at a seventh passage out of the 20. Look at Luke 23, verse 17. Luke 23, in verse 17, it says, for of necessity he must release, that is, Pilate must release one unto them at the feast. They released, you remember, Barabbas, a murderer, a thief, one who had caused insurrection, a revolutionary. And they led Jesus away to be crucified. But here, this verse, of necessity they must release one unto the feast. The very background of why the crowd yelled, give us Barabbas, release Barabbas. What do I do then with Jesus, who is called the Christ? Let Him be crucified. Let Him be crucified, was their cry. Of necessity, they must release one to the feast. All three versions wipe this verse out. New International Version, New American Standard, New King James in the footnotes. No necessity that one be released. And so the whole picture of Jesus taking the place of Barabbas is gone. If preachers are preaching from any of these versions, it's gone if our King James Bible is wiped out. All right, let's take a look at an eighth example. Luke chapter 23, verse 34. Luke 23:34, where we read, this entire first part is gone. Then said Jesus, He's at the cross now. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That is out. It's out of two of these versions. It's out of the New International Version here. It's out of the New King James Version in the footnotes. Gone. The forgiveness of the Lord Jesus' enemies. If you're here this morning, you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, just came because it was Easter perhaps, we're glad you're here. We praise the Lord that you've come. But if you're outside of Christ, He remembered you in that prayer. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. If you trust Him and receive Him as your Savior, your Redeemer, He will forgive you. But if you have these other versions that take out those precious words, you don't know that the Lord Jesus can forgive sinners. Those even who nailed them to the cross, nailed Him to the cross. Father, forgive them. He can forgive you and save you by faith in Christ. Look at a ninth verse in Luke chapter 23, verse 38. And a superscription was written over Him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. Yet all three of these versions and perversions wipe out the words in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. Take them right out. The Lord Jesus' statement and Pilate's words, this is the King of the Jews that He put. Remember, they said, don't say that this is the King of the Jews. Change it. Say He said He was the King of the Jews. Pilate said, what I have written, I have written. And He wrote it in all three languages. Not just leaving that out. But in Greek, so that the Greeks could read it. In Latin, so that the Latin Gentiles could read it. And in Hebrew, so that the Jews could read it. All three languages, yet they're wiped out of these new versions. All three versions, wipe them out. Let's take a tenth verse. Luke 23 and verse 42. Where here the repentant thief on the cross, he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. You say, how could a poor lost thief turn to Jesus and ask Him to remember him? He turned to Him because he had faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus could forgive him on the basis of His shed blood that He was then giving on the cross of Calvary for that thief's sins. Now the question is, did that thief recognize the Lord Jesus as deity, as God? Did he recognize Him or did he not? Well, my friends, all three of these versions take out one word in that verse. And the word is Lord. Wipe it right out. Kurios in the Greek language. They say, this thief just said, he said unto Jesus, remember me. That's it. No, my friend. The truth of the matter is, he recognized that he was Lord, he was God, he was deity, he was God come in the flesh, and he was his Savior. He was the one that could forgive his sins. To remove the word Lord, as these versions have done, takes away the deity of our Savior. And we don't have Easter, we don't have forgiveness, we don't have Calvary, we don't have anything, if he was not our Lord. We sang in Sunday school many times that chorus, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord. Let's go to an 11th verse in the book of Luke again, chapter 23, verse 45. And it says, and the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in midst. On that time when the Lord Jesus bore the sins of the whole world at Calvary, God blew out all the stars, all the sun, all the windows, all the light, everything in the heaven that could shine. It was noon, but it was midnight. The sun was darkened. Now, that's a miracle. God just caused the sun that's 93 million miles away, bigger by far than this old earth. He caused that sun to stop shining because this was the time when the maker of all the world was there crucified for the sins of the world. And he caused God the Father, looking at his son, taking the sins of the world, for 3 long hours the sun was darkened. It was black so that all the world could see this was truly the Son of God. This was truly the Savior that came into the world. This truly was the Messiah, the Prince of Peace, the one who is the everlasting Father. But all three of these versions remove the miracle of the darkening of the sun. And they make it no more than a naturalistic phenomenon. They substitute the word eschatiste, which is the word to be darkened, by miraculous power of Almighty God. They change it into the word eklipontos, the word we get eclipse from. And that's what all three of these versions, they've got just a simple eclipse of the sun. Something passing in between the sun and the moon, and so on and so forth, just an eclipse. That's what it was. Impossible that it could be eclipsed. There was a full moon. It was Passover time. A full moon. You cannot eclipse the sun by any naturalistic phenomenon. And yet the Greek texts on which these heretic Bibles and versions are based, made it into a naturalistic eclipse, and the power of God is taken right away. No, my friend, it was not an eclipse. The sun was darkened, and God Almighty darkened it to show the whole world that this was no mere man hanging on that cross. This was the Son of God. This was God's own precious Son, perfect God and perfect man. Let's go to a 12th verse in Luke chapter 24 and verse 1. 24 and verse 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared. And the next words, and certain others with them, are wiped out of these versions. New International Version, New American Standard Version, New King James Version, the footnotes. Now what's wrong with wiping out those words that are here in our precious King James Bible and here in the Greek text that underlies that Bible? Well, it just diminishes the witnesses to the resurrection. It wasn't simply Mary Magdalene and the other Mary that were there at that tomb the first day of the week, very early. There were others with them, certain others with them, in addition to those women. And so we have witnesses that can testify, yes, I saw not the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we went to the tomb. Yes, the stone was rolled away by the power of God. And we looked in, and Jesus was not there. He was not there. We heard the angel say, you look for Jesus. You're seeking Jesus of Nazareth? He is not here. He is risen. Come see the place where the Lord lay. There were not just these two women that saw that morning, the angels and heard the angels, but others, certain others with them. And so we have a number of others who saw the resurrected empty tomb and knew of the resurrected Savior as well. A 13th verse. Look in Luke chapter 24 and verse 12. 24 and verse 12. Where we see, then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, and he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. One of the versions, the New International, New American Standard Version, takes away that particular portion, puts it in brackets, and puts a footnote on it, and says, this is doubted by some of the manuscripts, the ancient manuscripts. For what? How long before these other versions are going to do the same? I don't know. Here you have a verse that's an Easter verse, pure and simple, isn't it? Verse 12 of Luke 24. Our King James Bible, very clear. No question, no doubt. Here Peter, having run to the tomb, he rose up from his seat, he stooped down, he beheld the linen clothes, not just an empty tomb, but he saw the linen clothes that were wrapped around the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there they were, by themselves. Now, can you explain in a naturalistic way how a body which was dead, with linen clothes wrapped around and around and around and around, if you ever tried it, you ask your wife or your husband or some of your mother or father or friends to wrap you up sometime with sheets, how you can get out of that without a miracle of God? You can't do it. You're tired. You just do it. Try it sometime. Here was the miracle of the resurrected body of the Lord Jesus Christ, a new body, a glorified body that could slip right through those linen clothes with no problem at all. And there they were lying in a pile, in a place, by themselves. And the word and the phraseology, I believe, implies just as if they were right there without any disturbance. Not that they were all strewn around and cut up in pieces, but almost as if the body was right there and it was gone, but just crumpled down a little bit, not disheveled. He got out of there clean. How could the Lord Jesus, after the resurrection, go into the room with the doors being closed while he passed through those walls? Because his new, glorified, resurrected body had the power of passing through walls, passing through these linen clothes. And Peter down, he looked and he wondered, he doubted, but he saw. This verse is questioned by this New International or New American Standard Version of the Bible. Let's take a look at the 14th verse. Luke 24 and verse 36. Luke 24 verse 36. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be still. Now notice in the first part of verse 36, as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst. There's B and Aleph, the Vatican and Sinai manuscripts on which these manuscripts, these versions are based, omits the word Jesus. And so all we have, and this is followed by the, where it says he stood in the midst, is followed by the New American Standard Version. This is a bold version, even though it's sanctioned and pushed, as I said earlier this morning, by Bob Jones University, and it's in their bookstore, and they think it's great. They take away the word Jesus out of this verse. And so, as they spoke these things, he stood in the midst of them. You don't know whether it's Jesus, whether it's somebody else, a disciple. It's not named. And this is part of the Easter gospel, is it not? It's Jesus himself stood by, not just some person by the name of he. All right, notice a 15th illustration of the Easter story that's gone if we don't have our King James Bibles. In Luke 24 and verse 40, notice verse 40, "And when he had thus spoken, he showed unto them his hands and his feet." In verse 39 it says, "Behold, my hands and my feet, handle me and see. A spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye me have." This is after his bodily resurrection. And that verse 40, two of the versions, the New American Standard Version and the New King James in their footnotes, remove or question the entire verse. And yet look at the verse that speaks of Easter and the message of Easter. "When he had thus spoken, he showed unto them his hands and his feet." That it was a bodily resurrection. The liberals, the modernists, the unbelievers, the apostates do not believe that it was a bodily resurrection, do they? Jesus rose in spirit, that's all, but not his body. Here is a verse taken away by the New American Standard Version and also the footnotes of the New King James, and it is a resurrection Easter verse, is it not? All right, a 16th verse out of the 20, Luke 24 and verse 46. Luke 24 and verse 46. A vital verse, indeed. It says, "And he said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day." Now the words that are omitted by all three of these versions and perversions, New International Version, New American Standard Version, New King James footnotes, the words that are taken away from our King James Bible are the words, "and thus it behooved," "and thus it behooved." They simply read, "thus it is written, Christ should suffer." Do you know what "it behooved" means? That's Old English, I realize, but you know what it means? Thus, it was absolutely essential, absolutely necessary for Christ to suffer, to die, and to rise again the third day. So the necessity of Calvary, the necessity of the bodily resurrection of our Savior, is wiped out by these versions. Pervert. You don't have it anymore. Jesus didn't really have to die. He didn't have to suffer. He didn't have to rise again from the dead the third day. You take away your King James Bible, you take away Easter. You take away the necessity of Calvary that preceded Easter. Serious business, is it not? These are little things, you say. These are tiny things. But the tiny things make up the big things, do they not? You remember the story about the nail and the horse? And those of you in this country, I'm sure, use horses more than those of us back in the city in New Jersey and so on. But for want of the nail, the shoe was lost. For want of the shoe, the horse was lost. For want of the horse, the rider was lost. For the want of the rider, the battle was lost. All because of a horseshoe nail. You say little things don't make any difference? They certainly do. They add up. God says, "He that is faithful in the least in the little things is faithful also in the much. He that is unjust and unfaithful in the little is unjust in the much." Little things do add up. Let's take another verse, verse 16th verse, an example of it. Not only, well, this is the 16th that behooved Christ, it is absolutely necessary. Look at the 17th one in Luke, the same chapter, chapter 24. And look at verse 51. "It came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them." Now notice the next words. "And carried up into heaven." Carried up into heaven. The New American Standard Version questions the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. These others, I wonder how long before they will also follow suit. But questions the ascension. That's part of the Easter message, is it not? If the Lord Jesus was crucified for our sins, for your sins and mine, was buried, the third day rose again bodily from the grave, and then just disappeared off the scene, we are of all men, all women, most miserable. He had to ascend unto the Father's right hand, there to intercede for us. First of all, to put his precious blood on the Holy of Holies, the mercy seat of heaven, and atone for the sins of the whole world, and then intercede for the Christian, the believers, at the Father's right hand, and then from thence to come one day. He's coming again in order to take us up, first of all, in the rapture, and then after the tribulation, 7 years, coming back to judge this world and to set up his millennial kingdom of righteousness. But this ascension up into heaven is part of the Easter story, and it's eliminated by the New American Standard Version in its questions. All right, an 18th illustration in Luke chapter 24, the same chapter, and verse 52, or 51 rather, the same verse. "And carried up into heaven," verse 52 rather, "and," notice, "they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy." Notice the words, "they worshipped him." Again, the New American Standard Version wipes out those words. What is the significance in the Easter message of their worship of Him? How could they worship Him if He were merely a man? Do you worship your brother, your father, your grandfather, your uncle, any man on this earth? Do you worship Him? I hope not. If you do, you're an idolater. We cannot worship men. But when these disciples, having seen the Savior resurrected with a perfect, sinless, spotless, glorified, resurrected body, they fell down and worshiped Him because He was God, perfect God as well as perfect man. God, perfect man, and perfect Son, the Son of God and God Himself. And so they could worship Him without any problem. And then a 19th example, and that is in the Gospel of John. If you turn over to the Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Easter, from those verses that are questioned, and there are many others, but I'm using just simply these. I did not use all of them. Notice in John of chapter 19, verse 38. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, John 19:38, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. Now notice those last three words. The body of Jesus. Took the body of Jesus. The New International Version and the New American Standard Version don't identify it as Jesus' body at all. They merely say they took His body. Don't know whether it's Jesus' body or somebody else's body. The Bible says it's the body of Jesus. They say, well, it's just they took the body. They could have had a body that wasn't Jesus' body at all. It could have been some other body to put it into the tomb before Easter and the resurrection. Well, one final verse. We're going into 1 Timothy chapter 3 now. 1 Timothy chapter 3. You say, what does that have to do with Easter? I'll tell you in a minute. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 16. And without controversy, Paul writes to that young preacher, Timothy. He says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up to glory. Now that one word in verse 16, great is the mystery of godliness, God was manifest in the flesh. If we do not have the Lord Jesus Christ as eternal God in the incarnation, manifested in the flesh, we do not have any possibility of Calvary covering at all, of the sins of the world being atoned for on the cross. We have no possibility at all of the bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. If it was not God manifest in the flesh, if it was just simply as these other versions have it. Let me quote what they say in the New International Version. Great is the mystery of godliness. He appeared in the body. Not God. God is gone. Because their text does not have God. Their Greek text. We have it. Theos. Not hos. Not the one who was manifest. Not He appeared in the body. Is there anyone in this room that has not appeared in a body? If you're here without a body, I can't see you. And I hope you're not here if you don't have a body. I hope every one of us with a body. I don't want to get involved in any spiritism. This does not do it. It's God that appeared in the body. That's the miracle of the incarnation. And without the incarnation, we have no crucifixion at Calvary and the Savior to die for the sins of the world, and we have no bodily resurrection. If just He appeared in the body, we don't know who the He was. Let me tell you how the New American Standard Version renders this in 1 Timothy 3:16. By common confession, great is the mystery of godliness, He who was revealed in the flesh. Again, He who was revealed in the flesh. I'm sure all of us, unless you're she who was revealed in the flesh, that's fine. But He who was revealed in the flesh, all of us are revealed in the flesh. We were born, but not God was manifest in the flesh. Let me tell you how the New King James in the footnotes, they say God was manifest in the flesh up on the top, but on the bottom they say the Nestles and United Bible Society Greek text reads, who was manifest in the flesh? They question God manifest in the flesh by their footnote, just simply saying who was manifest in the flesh. My friends, we have a serious battle on our hands. The battle for our Bibles. Our King James Bible, we believe, is true to the Word of God in every respect. We believe the Greek text that underlies the King James Bible was preserved and protected by God. Of the 5,255 manuscripts that we have in the Greek today and that are still in existence, 99% of them are those that underlie our King James Bible. Only 1% are those that go along with this red Bible, the Westcott and Hort Bible, the Nestle Island 26 edition. And these versions are based upon this 1% of the evidence that God has preserved for us. Only 45 manuscripts out of the 5,255. 1%. 5,210 are behind the text that underlies our King James Bible. We have a battle on our hands in the minds of men. And though you who are people that are not perhaps Greek students or Hebrew students or whatever may not understand the ins and outs and the details of the problem, the battle will be won without your understanding any of it because of the publishers that are publishing these versions that are not based on the proper Greek and Hebrew texts and are not properly translated but are paraphrases and perversions of the Word of God. And those of you who have come this Easter Sunday morning to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, the risen Savior, as I've tried to show, these books, these versions, have changed and have altered these 20 verses at least. There are others. These 20 verses at least. And so if this Bible ever does pass off the scene, our King James Bibles, we'll have a different Easter story. We'll have a different sections of Scripture that are doubted and questioned. Oh, you may have a few things here and there, but you will not have the fullness. The question is, do you want the fullness of the gospel message, the fullness of the Easter message, or just a little bit of it, and the rest of it, it doesn't matter. Before we close the service, we're going to turn it back over to Pastor Beach. I just want to speak to those of you who are come perhaps as visitors. And I want to make clear to you the scriptural Bible teaching that our Savior came to this earth as God, manifest in the flesh. That it was necessary for Him to suffer. It was necessary for Him to die on the cross. It was necessary for Him to rise again the third day bodily from the grave in order for you and for me to be forgiven, to be justified, to be cleansed of our sins, and to be taken to heaven. There was no other way that God Almighty could have made possible our redemption except to send His own Son, perfect God, the very Creator of all the world, into this world, give Him a body, have Him walk upon the earth three and a half years, and then for your sins and my sins, suffer and bleed and die that we might have everlasting life. And if you've come this morning and you've never received that Savior and that everlasting life, I hope that you will trust Him this morning as your Savior, your Redeemer, your Lord, your Master. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. Make Him yours.